Thank you, Miss Leah. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter, chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter 24 in the Old Testament. I want you to look with me at a particular verse here that I hope will call our attention to something we really need as we kick off this brand new year of, goodness, 2017. Can you believe it is here? My goodness, I can still remember us all being a little nervous when Y2K came around. The year 2000, everybody was scared to death that the computers were going to crash. There was going to be a world financial calamity, and Jesus might come back in the middle of all of it. I mean, everybody was real worried at that time. And can you believe 17 years have rolled around since then? It's unbelievable to see how fast things go. But I found this to be true, that a lot of the things that happen year after year after year, it seems to be a recurring thing, and it is a good thing. Is that the way the Lord has this thing set up, that every 12 months, we all get a chance to start over. We call it the new year. We've said before, one year ends, another one comes in. The old man year dies, the new baby year sort of gets birth, and we start all afresh and new. And I want to use a verse in the Bible here that I think sort of calls attention to this. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Excuse me. This is what the Bible says. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. That's a great thought, isn't it? The first part of that verse, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. It's a good thing to know that God didn't only devise the whole scheme of time and space and the whole continuum of things so that we would start all over after 12 months, they even put a verse in the Bible to remind us, that a man's not beaten when he gets knocked down. Everybody's been knocked down. Everybody's gone through some tough times in life. And I found it to be true that not a lot of people are sort of handicapped by just things that happen during the course of a year. But sometimes it's a lot of the guilt and things of the past that the devil brings up in our lives to not just knock us down, but to beat us down and to keep us down. And listen to me this morning. You may be here today and you have no idea what this new year holds. You'd be just like the rest of us. But I would guarantee you this much, that it holds for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. It holds the opportunity for greatness, for blessing, for victory, for things to go forward rather than us just looking back. In other words, it's a chance to have a brand new, fresh start. That's one of the great things I like about a new year. And I realize that you can get a fresh start from God any day of the year, any Sunday of the year, any month of the year. But it just seems like we focus on it a little bit more when January rolls around. Listen to what the Bible said about this idea. I mean, who doesn't want to push the reset button and say, you know what, I made some mistakes last year. Anybody like that this morning? Could you raise your hand? Is anybody that made, excuse me, if I cough up a lung here, don't worry, Brother Earl's promised to pick it up for me and help me reinsert it. How many of you made more than one mistake this year? Well, that's all of it. Some of you boys back in the back's lying. You ain't raising your hand. But I tell you, I guarantee I saw y'all play basketball the other day. Y'all make a lot of mistakes. Well, anyway, listen, we've all made mistakes. We've made multiple mistakes. But if we could push the reset button and say, wait, can I start over? It's kind of, you know, a redo thing. Can I have a do-over, as you used to say when you was a kid, when you was doing something? We all need that, and I'm glad that we have a verse in the Bible that reminds us, a just man falleth. You see, just because you're saved doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't mean there's not going to be some speed bumps in the road or maybe some ditches that you fall into. There's going to be mistakes made. You make them, I make them, all of us make them. But a just man falleth. He does. But he riseth up again. That's what the verse says. He may fall seven times and rise up again. Now that doesn't mean it's limited to seven. I think I probably made more than seven mistakes last year. It's just the idea of completion. Seven's a great number in the Bible for completion. The idea when a man seems to have completely fallen and everything's ruined and everything's over, God can give you a fresh start. And there's no sense in looking back on all the failures and all the faults. You just got to go forward. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It sounds to me like both of those ideas are quit looking back and accept the fact that God's given you an opportunity for a fresh start. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that doesn't need a fresh start. Maybe you didn't mess up last year. Maybe you messed up yesterday. Maybe you messed up last week. But God is in the business of giving you and me, though we have fallen, to give us the good news that we can have a fresh start all over again. God's about fresh starts. The Word of God is about new beginnings, if you would. It's about the opportunity to have second chances. I looked through the Bible and I realized Adam and Eve failed in the Garden of Eden, but God gave them a second chance when they got out of there. I realize that other people in the Bible, like Noah, has made his share of mistakes, as did all of mankind. But after the flood, God gave everybody an opportunity for a fresh start. Moses made his mistakes along the way. But I tell you this much, even after 80 years, God gave him a fresh start. And the last 40 years of his life were more productive than the first 80 were in the work that God had given him to do. And what of David, who messed up through adultery and murder, and yet God gave that man, after a vile sin like those were, He gave an opportunity for a fresh start and a second chance. And Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times, the Lord gave him a second chance. And by the way, many more. Jonah's an example in the Old Testament of somebody God spoke to and gave him a second chance. I've got a feeling that not only did Paul need it, but I think I need it, and I think you need it. We need a fresh start. I think I've made the point to you, and I think you understand what I'm trying to say. It's this way. This verse says, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I guess I'll never forget hearing Jack Hiles preach on this subject. He told the story about riding one day, I guess somewhere near some of the suburbs of Chicago, and as he rode by an alley, he saw 2 people in a fight. One was a bigger boy and one was a little scrawny lad, and it seemed like the little boy was up against somebody quite bigger than he could handle. And as they got into the scuffle, Dr. Hiles said he stopped his car and began to watch this event take place. And he said he watched this little boy get punched and he fell down the first time. And this little scrawny lad got up and went right back into the fray to fight again against this big bully. And he went back and he said he got knocked down a second time. And then he got up and he went back and got knocked down a third time. And then the 4th time. And then the 5th time. And then the 6th time. And then he got up and he said, just fulfilled just what this verse said. He got up the 7th time and went back and whooped the bully. I said, man, I like a guy like that. That'll get up and get up and get up and get up. Listen, you're not a failure if you fall. You're only a failure if you don't get up and fight one more round. Maybe you don't know the name of James J. or Jim Corbett. Jim Corbett fought in 1892 the first heavyweight championship boxing match in which they actually used boxing gloves. And he fought against, and he won a match against John L. Sullivan in the 21st round. I mean, they barely go to 15 now, and everybody's worried about somebody getting a cut or a scrape or a concussion. Back in that, they just tried to beat each other's brains out. Well, Corbett had a way with words, and this is what he said. This is where we get the phrase, fight one more round. For Corbett said this, fight one more round. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired you can hardly lift your hands to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and you're so tired you wish your opponent would crack you one in the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round. Remembering that the man who always fights one more round is never whipped. Don't you think we need that in 2017? I would expect that Baptists need it. I'm sure every other denomination and religious Christian organization in the world would need it. We just need to keep on fighting because the devil wants to knock you down, keep you down, whoop you, and make you give up. But I'm here to tell you, you can get a fresh start in 2017. And I hope you're here to get that today as we get things going this morning. And let me give you just 2 or 3 things that I think will help us to make sure we get on that route of doing and having a fresh start like we ought to have. The Bible says this. Remember this now. Psalm 103 verse 14. You're probably thinking something like this. Well, I'm so weak. I'm so miserable. I'm so sorry. I mess up all the time. Surely God wouldn't love me, protect me, give me another chance. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 14, "For He, God, knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." God knows what we're made out of. Did you know this much? The Lord knew you was going to fail before you failed. And He loved you before, He'll love you during, and He'll love you after you make a mistake. Now maybe you're here and you've got some financial woes that you messed up on last year. You can get a fresh start. Maybe there's some marital situations you'd like to fix. Listen, God will help put things back together. He's an expert on taking all of the broken pieces of our lives and relationships and problems and fixing everything. He's the one who knows how to do it. I don't know how. But God knows a way. Maybe you can't see a way. One fellow said it this way. He's a sovereign God and He can make lemonade out of all the lemons like us. Maybe you don't think of yourself as a lemon, but God remembers we're dust. He knows us better than we know ourselves and will take us, like Leah sang, just as I am, just as you is, just as we are, He will. Three things I think will help us to focus and make this come to be or come to pass. Number one, a clean slate. Can you remember as a kid, some of us are old enough to remember when you actually wrote on a chalk slate. I wasn't in school then, but Brother Clinton was. He was in school back in the 1800s. And in elementary school, they used to have a little slate they write on with their chalk. And then after a while, when you made a mistake, you had to start over. You couldn't just continue writing on that same thing. You had to wipe the slate clean. It gave you an opportunity to write something different, to start all over, to begin again, to correct the problem you made a mistake on. Everybody here could use a clean slate. The Bible says in Colossians 1, listen to this, "And you," Paul's writing to these believers in Colossae, and this is what he said to them, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Colossians chapter 2 said, "And you being dead in your sins, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Sounds like the Lord took all of those writings of legal violation against us, where we had broken and violated His law, and through the cross of Jesus and the blood that Christ shed, He took all those sins and broken laws that we had done, pulled them and took them out of the way, gave us a clean slate. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know it. Many of you could quote this. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things," first of all, "old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." One of my memory verses in the book of Proverbs, I try to quote these to keep myself tuned in on them. Some of you learned them when you were in school here at Faith Baptist because you had to memorize them as a part of your Bible class. You learn a verse in every chapter of Proverbs, and Proverbs 28:13 is one of the best ones that you'll ever remember. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." God is in the business of wiping your slate clean. Now listen to me. You cannot clean your own slate. What I mean by that is you can't remove your own sin. But you do have a part in it. And the part in getting a clean slate so you can have a fresh start is you got to take responsibility for where you did mess up. This is not, well, I ain't talking about just get everything swept under the carpet and make a big lump there. And well, I'll just keep on going and never deal with it. You got to deal with your past. You got to deal with your wrongs. You got to deal with your sin. You got to do what they say today. You got to own it. Listen, if you've done some cussing you ought not have done, you got to take responsibility for that. That ain't nobody else's fault. "Well, I messed up, and if I'd had a better wife," shut up. "But if I'd had a better husband," we could all probably have better of everything, but we have what we have. By the way, I have the best wife in the world. I just want to make that comment right there. Go along here. Some of y'all have to improve, but I don't have any improvement to make whatsoever, and she didn't have any on my side to make. Amen. Just make y'all smile just a little bit. But you understand what I'm saying. Quit blaming it on somebody else. This ain't on somebody else. If you don't get a clean, fresh start in 2017, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. You need a clean slate. God will help you with this if you'll own it. You got to accept responsibility for your own actions. It doesn't matter if it's something in thought or word or deed. You done something, you said something, you thought something, you felt something, you had a terrible attitude, whatever it is, take responsibility, own it, that's mine. That's, you know what they say? They say this in sports now. I don't know when it first developed, but I guess going back about 15 or 20 years ago where people started saying this, my bad. My bad. The only place that makes sense is probably in sports or somewhere in life where you make a mistake and you say, my bad. My bad. One of the things that they have now for professional athletics is that instant replay. And you can see when somebody will blame somebody else. Oh, no, it was him. They show the instant replay like 4,000 times. And all of us at home can figure out what's the right call to make. But for some reason, people in striped shirts cannot. But then again, they're blind. Most of them cannot make that decision or that discernment. But what I'm getting at is this. After it's being shown 4,000 times, we can all see who was really at fault. Now listen, God doesn't have to see it but one time, and He knows who's at fault. And sometimes we might have to review it 4 or 5 times before we admit to God, Lord, that was my bad. That was my fault. And by the way, taking responsibility doesn't just mean, and getting this clean slate, doesn't just mean acknowledging it to God. You might have to acknowledge it to somebody else. If it's your bad on something that's between you and the Lord, get it right. Ask God to forgive you. Tell Him you're sorry about it. Turn away from it. Remember, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh. You take responsibility for it, you confess it, and you change your direction, and you stop going down the wrong path, and you start going down the right path. Well, okay, I got everything right with God. I came to the altar, preacher. I got everything right with God. Listen, when you get it right with God this way, vertically, you will want to get it right with other people horizontally. Well, I wronged so-and-so and I asked God to forgive me. Have you asked them to forgive you? Well, I cheated so-and-so and I asked God. God forgave me of all the cheating I ever done. Did you ever get it right with the person you cheated? Brother Paul Young, I got a letter, or email this week from him. Missionary in South Africa. Tall Paul. Small Paul, he joked about. 6'9" or 10", I think, did chalk art. Many of our young people saw him back in the day at Venture Faith Camp when he was the speaker for the junior camp week. He's a missionary in South Africa now, doing a great job for God. Just a tremendous individual when it comes to serving the Lord. And I remember him telling a story about when he was just a boy that he had stole a pencil from a little store near the school that he went to as an elementary student. And he said that after he got saved, he went back to that store. We're talking about, 15 or 20 years after. And he went back to the store and he went inside and paid the man fourfold, 4 times what he had stolen in that pencil. And said the fellow said, I don't want it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. That's been 20 years ago. He said, no, I want to make it right. I'm right with God and I want to be right with man. Boy, what a tremendous Christian character that exhibits in that man's life. Listen, getting right with God is first. But once you're right with God and your heart is tender, you want a clean slate with other people. And I found this to be true. If you go to somebody you've wronged, there may be a very small percentage of people that if you go with a humble and a broken heart, contrite and submissive to God, that they won't accept you. If you run into an odd one every now and then that says, I don't care what you say, I don't care what kind of apology you give, I will never forgive you, then that's on them. It's not on you anymore. But you got to do what's right. Have a clean slate. Secondly, I believe not only that, and this goes along with it, that clean slate comes a course change. A course change. What do you mean by this? You got to go in a new direction. You got to get a new game plan. You can't just keep on doing the same thing. Now listen, God will forgive you, but He doesn't want you to continue to repeat the behavior. If you're trying to get out of the rut of making mistakes and bad choices and not in the will of God, then you've got to genuinely get out of that rut, and He doesn't want you to get back in it. I told some of you about the first church I pastored near Quitman, Georgia, Ocopilco. It's an Indian word that means black water. It's near the Ocopilco Creek in Quitman, Georgia, maybe 125 or 30 miles from here. It was an interesting church. I've said before, I was only there just a few months, but I left over health issues. I was sick of them and they were sick of me. And we'll move on from there. I say that all the time because it really was the truth. But I remember that church particularly. We lived down the road on a dirt road, my wife and I, in a single wide trailer. We were blessed at that time. We had no children. And back in our days of freedom and liberty. And I can remember we headed out one direction from our house. There was some real bad clay on the road. And every time it got real wet, if you didn't get, there was some ruts made usually by big trucks that had gone through there. And when you got in those ruts, you pretty much had to get in those ruts and just plow on through if you was another truck. Or you tried to find a more solid place and miss the ruts. But we was coming back, we came back the wrong direction, and as stubborn and proud as I was, I said, I saw the ruts. I saw how muddy it was. I said, Brother Alvin, I said, I ain't turning around and driving 10 miles all the way around my elbow to get to my thumb. I'm going through there. My wife said, better not do it. You need to learn to listen to your wife. Not all the time, but just every now and then. Well, here I took off. Well, I took off and I said this, I'll get in them ruts and go. Well, I had, some of y'all won't even know what this vehicle is. I had a little Datsun station wagon. How many knows what a Datsun is? Before they had Nissan, they called it Datsun. And then because they couldn't spell it right, they changed to Nissan. I don't know. But anyway, I headed in there and I got in the ruts. Brother Jesse, I said, I can make it right here. Well, the problem was the big trucks had made the ruts so deep, my car just bottomed out right there in the middle of all of it. And of course, you know how women are. They don't ever say it sometimes with their mouth, but they give you that look that says, told you so. Why do women do that? That's a whole nother series of sermons I'll preach next year. I got out, told her to get there. I tried to push it. I'm in church clothes. I'm trying to push it. I'm trying to rock it back and forward, back and forward, back and forth. Couldn't get out. Stuck in the ruts. Well, long story short, I humbled myself, walked down the road. There's a fellow down there with a tractor, and I asked him, would he come down there and pull me out? And the good man that he was came down that Sunday afternoon and pulled me out. Isn't that a wonderful story? Next week, it rained again. Don't get ahead of me. Let me tell my story. Next week, rained again. We went somewhere, I guess, to eat. I don't remember exactly what it was. Came in that same way, got that same section. There it was again. She said, don't do it. Don't you try it. I said, it can't happen two times in a row. I'm not even going to use those ruts this time. I'm going to make my own. I'm going to get, I'm kind of straddle one of them ruts. Danny, just drive right on through there. If you get going real fast, even if you sink down a little bit, the momentum will carry you right on through. Did I remind y'all that I was in a Datsun? A whole lot of momentum is not possible in a car that weighs that little. Well, I got going. I did not start in those ruts. But as soon as I got going, I slid right back into the same rut. Well, now you realize I get that other look that says, well, dummy, I tried to tell you again. Then on top of that, I get out, my church clothes again, try to help push us out, rock it back. I try all that again. Now you know what I got to do? I got to walk down the road, talk to the same farmer the second time who was polite enough not to say it, but I guarantee you he was thinking, this preacher is an idiot. To which my wife would have readily agreed because it was embarrassing for her. Now the next week rolled around and I went the other way. Hopefully, I learned my lesson about the ruts. If you get stuck in the rut, you're just going to have to get somebody to help you, and it's good to have somebody to help you. But there ain't no sense in getting stuck in the same rut over and over and over. But here's what I found, Christian. I've been preaching for a little while now. I found that a lot of people get off to a fresh start and don't maintain it because they slip back into the same rut all over again. Brother Alvin and I were talking just before church this morning. I was asking about Oman Opa out in Texas. We need to remember to pray for them, but said they're doing all right. But he made a statement about them that he even admitted is becoming true in his own life. He said, we're getting set in our ways. Anybody like that in here this morning? The older I get, the more set in my ways I am. And I don't want to change them. I'm like, I'm fine. Why we got to change it? Well, you don't have to change if you're setting your ways, if you've got some good ways. And if your ways line up with God's will and you're plugging along fine, But if you're set in your ways and you keep falling back into sin, or falling back into some bad behavior, or falling back into something that does not honor God with your life, it's time you got out of your ways. And I think it's very important that we understand that. Listen, a fresh start does not mean that we just get simply a head start. We get a completely new game plan. We start all over, and we try not to do the same thing over and over again. Albert Einstein, several of y'all, thank you, that's smart. Albert Einstein, that great genius, is credited with saying this: the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. I think I have been insane just a few times. Do the same thing over and over again and think it's going to turn out different the next time. Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs 3:5, 6, and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hebrews 11:6, one of our memory verses from Wednesday night. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And what of Joshua 1:8? Listen to what he said. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God sometimes asks us to make a course change because he knows that if we don't change our course and our direction and our path, we're going to end up in the same rut all over again. Number 3, if we're going to get a fresh start, we don't just need a clean slate and course change. We need a companion to help us. You know what I mean by this. Here's a good verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The simple point I'm trying to make is this. We, you and me, cannot do it without somebody to help us. We need the Lord to help you. You want to change in your life? Then you need God to help you. You want to turn around and go the other direction? You need the Lord's help. Now, I'm not saying people can't help you, but people cannot help anybody that refuses to listen to God. If you won't let the Lord help you, how in the world can somebody else? And I hate to say it, but there's probably people I could say that to. I can't help you because you won't let the Lord help you. There's got to be a submission to God in this regard. You cannot do it on your own. Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He said this, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. You might not think you're ever going to make it. You might think you're going to constantly be defeated. There's never going to be any victory in that rut of life, that your own ways that you get stuck in sometimes. I'm here to tell you, God started something in you the day you got saved. Now if you're not saved, you need to get saved and let God start something in your life by your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the beginning point for everything. But if you are saved, what the Lord started in you the day you got saved, He is still working on you, like the little kid's song says. And He wants to do something in your life. He wants to wipe the slate clean. He wants to give you a course change so you can go in the proper direction instead of continuing down the same old dead end. And He wants to be there to help you so that you can get the victory. But it's easy sometimes to feel defeated. It's easy sometimes you look around, it seems like every sign and signal you see says defeat, defeat, defeat. Let me tell you a little story and I'll close. During the Battle of Waterloo, many years ago when the English were fighting the French and the Duke of Wellington was out fighting against Napoleon in the battlefield and on sea and on land, as the message was getting back by signals from one fire, one flag, one messenger here and there from the battlefield all the way back to London where it was constant fog and bad weather, there was a man that climbed up to the highest pinnacle of one of the buildings there in London. And he was there to signal everybody in the town. And everybody always looked up there to that symbol and that, or to that position to see the symbol that the man may hold up. And he began to use his flags to signal. He took the signals from what he could see. He began to signal back. And he signaled these words, Wellington, defeated. And the cloud rolled over. and everybody was gloomy and depressed and thought nothing was lost, the battle with France. Then the cloud, the smoke, and the fog cleared, and all of a sudden they saw this. Wellington defeated Napoleon. What a difference it made when the last word got put in there. And it might be that you'd say this, I'm defeated. But the truth is, you're not. And it might have looked like that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that Jesus defeated. But for 3 days and three nights, it might have looked and felt and sounded and just, it was in their whole person that he's gone, he's never coming back. But 3 days and three nights later, when he got up out of the grave, Christ defeated Satan. And all of a sudden, all of us can rejoice because of what Jesus did for us. Listen to me. He won the victory so you can have the victory. He conquered the devil so you don't have to be his prey. And he promised, not only for himself as he got up out of the grave, but for us too, we get a fresh start. If we go to God and say, I'm sorry, forgive me, clean my slate, give me a fresh start that I can go forward for you. And God will give you that if you want it. A just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. I hope you'll rise up today. Claim that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for your precious word, for the opportunity to share it with your people this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message to help us all have a clean, fresh start. We can go forward for you. A brand new year. Lord, help those who are loaded down with guilt and shame and remorse and regret for mistakes that we've all made. Help us to get past our past that cannot be changed. But thank you that our future is unwritten and a great promise with it that we can go forward. Help us to press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Bless this invitation time again. Save the lost. Reclaim those backslidden. Add to the church. Lord, help your people to be stirred. Father, we'll thank you. Help us to draw near to thee, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand quietly to our